If you've been blessed so far, say amen.
Amen.
If you haven't been blessed yet, say,
oh my.
All right. Y'all been blessed. Today I'm going to talk about freedom. Say freedom.
Freedom.
We hear that word a lot in the Bible. Free in Christ. I'm free in Christ. Hey. Freedom. God set us free from the law of sin and death. When we know Christ, because He fulfilled all the commandments in word, thought, and deed, never sinned once. So when Christ went to the cross, He became our sin bearer. He paid the debt for our sin because in the flesh, do this, that's flesh. He fulfilled the law in the flesh, something that you and I can do. Anybody lie in here once? Say yes. How many of you lied 100 times? Okay, see, all a bunch of honest liars. That's great. It takes honesty about your sin to become a Christian, doesn't it? People say, I'm a good person. I don't need Jesus Christ. Well, hold on. He was perfect in word, thought, and deed. Have you? Well, I've only lied a couple times. Well, if you've lied once, you've lied 1,000 times, the Bible says. But when you become a Christian, not just going to church, not just singing hymns, not just acting like it. How many of you know that people act like a Christian and they're not really a Christian? Hello? It's called a what? Starts with an H. Yep. Jesus didn't like them very much. He'd rather you just be a dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking sinner and say, God, I need you for forgiveness of all the sin I've committed. That's how you become a Christian, is repentance and faith in Jesus. Nothing simple, nothing complicated. It's very simple. And so I want to talk about freedom in Christ. What are we free from? Am I free to act any way I want to? Is that why? Is that the freedom? I can do whatever, whenever? No. You know, when you're a sinner and you were unregenerate, you were not filled by the Holy Spirit, you were shackled. This is an analogy. You were shackled by the shackles of sin. You were under the prisoner of the law. Do not lie, do not steal, do not covet. You know, we know the commandments. If you've broken one, you've broken them all. You were shackled like a slave to sin before you became a Christian. You were a slave to sin. You were obligated as an unregenerate person, not filled by Holy Spirit, to sin and not feel bad about it. Well, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian, hopefully. Some listening or not. You can go to sermonaudio.com to find out more about what is a Christian, what is not Christian. Sermonaudio.com, Ready to Go Ministries. And so as a Christian, you can still what? You can sin as a Christian, right? Yes? Okay, be honest, Christian. But the thing about being a Christian is that when you sin, you can go straight to God. You don't need a priest or a preacher to get forgiveness. All you have to do is be humble about it and say, God, forgive me, for I have sinned against my brother. I have sinned against whoever. And God, if you do it with humility through the blood of Christ, your Lord and Savior, that paid your sin debt in full, you can be forgiven. Okay, snap your fingers. There it is, that quick. You don't have to go, don't have to work. Don't have to say, well, I need to go to church more to get forgiven. No. I got to read my Bible more to be forgiven. No. All you have to do, if you're a Christian, if you've been born again, a born again Christian can go to Jesus, the throne of grace, anytime they sin, they can be forgiven. Don't die in your own sins, my friend. Not when God has given you the perfect sacrifice for your sin, because Jesus lived a life that we could not live. And if you think you're going to heaven by being a good person, then you say that Christ died and suffered a humiliating death on the cross in vain. That's not good. Do you think God would be pleased with that if you died and stood before Him? And you said, you need to let me into heaven because I'm a good person, God, after His Son, perfect Son, sinless Son, died on the cross. Not just died, but He was humiliated and tortured for the sins that you and I have committed. And in here, and people listening to my voice, have sinned 1,000,000 times. Jesus Christ, Son of God. So Son of Man. So I want to talk about freedom. Freedom in Christ, what is it? What's it not? So the chain of sin that you were shackled to when you became to know the Lord Jesus Christ has been cut. You're no longer obligated to sin. You've been set free from the law that condemned you. The law is good, but it will condemn you. Do not lie. I don't want to lie to you. If I love God, and I do love God, I'm not going to lie to you. If I love God, I'm not going to be jealous of you. If I love God, I'm not going to commit adultery. If I love God, I'm going to honor my father and my mother. Now, do I disobey these at times? Yes, because I'm of the flesh. I can't do it all. Jesus did it all. Say, turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus paid it all. Sin debt is like this. How many of you have had credit cards? How many of you maxed them out? Max them out to $5,000. Minimum payment comes in. $35 minimum payment. I get it. I'm not a mathematician. But you pay the minimum payment, you never get it paid off. It just, interest goes up and up and up and up. They don't want you to pay it off. They don't care. They want to make that $5,000 that you owe and you pay the minimum turns into $20,000 over a period of whatever year. You never get it paid off. And that's what Jesus did when he went on the cross. And he wants you to be set free from the law of sin and death. And I wanted to read, I won't go there. I won't tell you where it is. I just want you to listen, then I'll tell you where I'm reading from. It says, it starts out about food sacrificed to idols. Now, wait a minute. What does that mean? Food sacrificed to idols. I'm going to tell you. Now about food sacrificed to idols, Apostle Paul talking to the church at Corinthians. He says, we know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Who wants knowledge? I'd rather have love than knowledge. When I used to start preaching, I used to preach from knowledge because I was a Bible student, still am. But when you preach through the experience and knowledge, guess what happens? The fire burns in your belly. When you've been in the dungeon and you preach about John the Baptist being in the dungeon for a year, that little hole in the ground that was nasty, stinky for something he did not do, and you've been there and you've been in the dungeon, whether it was your fault or somebody else's fault, you understand and the fuel feeds my fire. And he says about this food sacrificed to idols, they used to do that back in the Old Testament. Listen, but knowledge puffs up. Look at me, I'm smarter than you. Yeah, but do you love people? Do you love people? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? If you have two coats, do you give one to somebody that don't, or you keep the two when the other person's freezing? Christians don't do that. Would you like a bite of half of my hamburger, whatever? If there's somebody sitting there, you're going to let them starve to death? That's not Chris. What Jesus said, no, no, no. If you're not loving your neighbor as yourself, you got to love God first. I always say love God first and then love your neighbor as yourself. Look, it's shaped like what? L. Love lasts forever. Hope and faith, they are going to be validated when you get to heaven. You won't live by hope anymore. Thank God. You won't live by faith anymore because it's validated. Here I am standing in front of my Savior. It's validated. He says, come on in, my good and faithful servant. That's what you want to hear. You don't want to hear this, non-saved people that are listening to the message. You don't want to hear, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. People are going to heaven, think they're going to stay in heaven, and they get judged by God. Oops. Well, I did all the right things. I did went to church 3 times a week. I read the Bible. I was all pretty good. Pretty good. A lot of people are going to be disappointed in heaven. You know, I'm going to see people in heaven that I thought would never be there. And then I'm going to expect to see somebody to be there and they're not. Think about the thief on the cross. He didn't do any good work, did he? Not one, except for the right thing. He repented of his sins just before he died. He did not one good thing. No works got him into heaven. It's called grace. Say G. R-A-C-E. Give me some of that. grace. God has shown it on the cross, hasn't he? Those who think they know something yet do not yet know that they ought to know, but whoever loves God is known by God. Do you love God? Well, I've broken that commandment. And that commandment's not even in the Ten Commandments. Love God with all your heart. Well, say all. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's not even in the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said that's the greatest commandment. Because if I don't love God first, I can't love you. And people say they love their neighbor and don't love God, they're lying to you. Because God is love. I got the definition of love. God is love. Love is God. Everybody with me? Love God first, y'all. And then all the problems you've got, God will work those out in His timing. Give Him a chance to operate in your life. So then about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world. Idols, before I was a Christian, I had all kinds of idols. Come on, come on. Car, my blings, my clothes, my friends. All the things are going to rust away and moths are going to destroy them. He says, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot corrupt them. Come on. I had a lot of idols, and he talks about them here. There's no God but one. Say, there's only one God. See, most religions use the word God in their religion. Cults use the word God. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. Without the way, there is no going. I am the truth. Without the truth, there is no knowing. And without the life, there is no living. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the way, the truth, the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. He's very dogmatic. Either you believe he's a liar, a lunatic, or the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. It's your choice. For someone to call Jesus a lunatic, you can't give him an in-betweener. Well, he's a good prophet. No, you can't give him that. You either call him a liar, well, what he says is a liar about himself, or he is the true Messiah, the one sent by God to save you from your sins. God is holy and man is sinful. But there is only one God, the Apostle Paul says. Listen to this writing. For even there are so-called gods. They're everywhere. So-called gods. Don't you know people just worshiping other things or putting other things first? Now, there's nothing wrong with not having good things. Yeah, everybody likes to have good things when they can. But be blessed when God blesses you. Be thankful when He gives you. If He gives you a new car, hallelujah. Give glory to God. Nothing wrong with having good stuff. But don't put the good stuff before your Maker, the one who knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knew you, and then He knitted you when you got there, and He's crafting you out and growing you up the way He wants you to be. Let God operate in your life. Holy Spirit, operate my life. Consume my thoughts. Consume my mind. Direct my paths where they need to go. Holy Spirit, come. And it's powerful. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, say it still today. This is written 2,000 years ago. There's all kinds of so-called gods out there, different religions. It's the wrong God. People are praying to the wrong God if they're not a Christian. Jesus Christ is Son of the living God. He is the exact representation and image of the God, Creator God. Jesus is the Father and God of our Lord. God is the Lord and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the real God of the Bible. Lots of little G's out there. Lots of little L's out there, Lord. Which Lord are you praying to? One made up in your mind? Something from a cult? Something from a false religion? Be careful, y'all. Be careful. The devil, he seeks who he may what? Devour. Right? Seeking who he may devour. He's got those fiery darts too, boy. You better keep that shield of faith up there. Pray for discernment, y'all. When you hear a preacher or teacher not preaching and it's something not right in your spirit, you go find it in the Word. You find it in the Word. If it's not in the Word, throw it out. Trash. I preach from the Bible. Imagine that. It's a good concept, isn't it? You can give me some encouragement now. That'd be good.
Amen.
I have to sign the back of my own Bible. That preaching is so good. Yet for us there is but one God, big G, the Father from whom all things come from and from whom all we live. God's got you in the palm of His hand. He made you. He wants you just to be just like you are, but He wants the best for His children. Are you His child through Christ? Have you accepted the gift, the free gift? How can Holy God forgive sinful men and women and still be God? He sent His Son in the flesh to be sin for us, and He knew no sin, that you and I can become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I am righteous, not because I do the right thing all the time. Matter of fact, I don't. Oh, Revelation. Can you believe it? Turn to your neighbor and say, yeah, I sin sometimes. But as a Christian, when you sin, it should bother you. Your conscience should be really, really, really activated. It should say, no, 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 no. Got to go to the throne, get forgiveness. If you're a crooked, if you're not a Christian, hey, sorry. That's just the way it is. We don't do that as Christians. When we sin and fall short, we're all like sheep. Do your sheep impersonation. That was a goat. No. 1, 2, 3, do your sheep. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I woke up, yeah. Yet things came for and from we live, and there is only one God, one Lord Jesus Christ, who all things came through and whom we live. All things were made through Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. Read Colossians. All things were made for Christ, by Christ, and through Christ. Amen. And there's nothing that would be made that is made if it wasn't through Christ. How do people say the Old Testament? Well, it says in Hebrews, Christ was the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Omniscient God had it figured out in His own mind, in His own heart, what He was going to do to redeem for men and women. He was going to send His Son. Do you think it hurt Him to have to do that? Absolutely. God has a what? Heart. David said, and God named David this. David, as bad as he was, he broke all the commandments. He was a man after God's own heart, even though he was messing up. We're not going to ever be sinless in our Christian experience, but hopefully we'll sin less. Say, sin less. That makes sense, doesn't it? But not everyone possesses this knowledge. Watch this now. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat sacrificial food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to a little g god, and since their conscience is weak, they are defiled. Now, back in the old day, pagans, well, God, we sacrifice animals to God. As God instructed at Passover, you know, bull, lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Who was the ultimate sacrifice that shed His blood? It was Christ, one time. So you don't have to sacrifice bulls and goats and turtle doves anymore at Passover to represent, I want to be obedient, I sacrifice this. But pagans were doing it as well. Pagans, non-Christian, non-believers were also sacrificing food to idols, false gods. Now watch this. But these people, they were coming out of Christianity. They were new to Christianity. And some of us that are free in Christ or may not be as free as the other person that's just getting started in his walk. Feel me? The weak. Say the weak. They're immature Christians. So if you're a mature Christian and you don't care whether the food's been sacrificed to an idol, I don't care. I'm eating the food because I don't believe in the idol. If that's God, tell him we'll call him back. No. If that's God, tell him we'll answer it now. And then if he has a secretary, tell him we'll take a message. Okay. Okay, I really want to talk to him. So these people were having an issue with, wow, that food has been sacrificed to idols. And I see y'all eating it, and I have a problem with it. Well, you know, we're not all in the same place. We live in our freedom. We can eat whatever we want. I don't eat certain food because that's my prerogative as a Christian. If I don't want to eat pork, I don't eat pork. If you want to eat pork, you eat pork. If you want to eat this, you eat this. But if something's sacrificed like a beautiful lamb, and back then if I'm a mature Christian and it was sacrificed to a pagan idol, I'm eating it. Because there's no such thing as an idol. I had no problems. Now, I don't have a problem because I'm free in Christ. These people are free in Christ too, but they're not quite there yet. You get me? You get me? The babes in Christ, come on. Babes in Christ don't know as much as people that have grown in Christ. I'm around a lot of babies. What I've noticed about babies, young babies, that when they're young, they'll grab at just about anything. They don't really care. They could grab at a banana or a stick of dynamite. It's all the same to them. But as you grow in your experience with God and you read the Word of God, you start to grow. I don't have any problem eating food that's been sacrificed somewhere else. If it's lamb chop, hey, I'm there. But that's me. It may not be you because I'm free and you're free. However, this is all about using your freedom biblically. Watch. So some people are still so accustomed to idols that they eat sacrificial food. Think of it as having been sacrificed to God. They had an issue with it. It was a stumbling block. It's a bad thing to be a stumbling block, isn't it? Is it? Jesus said, if you're a stumbling block to somebody's freedom in Christ, it's like tying a big millstone around your neck and being thrown overboard of a ship. You're going to drown. He is protecting people that are not mature, even though they're free. They're not quite there yet. So it upset them, the weak. They calls them the weak are the ones that are immature. And since their conscience is weak, their conscience is immature, they become, in their mind, defiled. Well, you don't want to make that happen to anybody else around you, do you, as a Christian? You can do without meat, upsetting the person next to you for one time. Oh, no, I'm free in Christ. You get over it. That's not the thing we're supposed to do. If it's upsetting someone and it's becoming a stumbling block to someone, you just skip it that day. You don't put that stumbling block in front of people and make it hard for them to know the Lord better. Just check out, eat your veggies. And then don't tell anybody, hey, if it comes to, if I go over to somebody's house, usually they ask before, are you not eating, is a certain food you don't eat? And if they ask, I'll tell them. And if they're respectful, they'll just skip that part of it and they'll do whatever. That's the proper thing to do. Wouldn't you agree? But I don't want to be a stumbling block. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't want to be a stumbling block. I do not. And I know I have been. Forgive me, God, for being a stumbling block to somebody. In any way. We're talking about food here, but it could be a lot of different things. You can do whatever you want as a Christian if it's not a sin. Except be a stumbling block. I can eat meat if I want to. You can eat pork if you want to. You can do whatever you want if it's not a sin. You cannot clear my conscience. You cannot try to clear my conscience by doing whatever you want. You know, try to talk me into something that I've already in my mind and heart I'm not going to do. And this is powerful for us as This is a freedom sermon. We're free. Say free. This is about freedom, not condemnation. But it is a lot of prickly little spots in it. You know, the little ones that kind of just put it together. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Who wants to be instructed in righteousness? If you're a Christian and you don't, something wrong. Instruct me, Lord, so I can be more like you, Lord. I want to know more about you. I want to live according to thy word, God. And forgive me if I just, it means so much to me to do this when somebody next to me is an immature Christian. They're free, but they're having a problem with it. I should just leave it alone for another day. Does it mean that much to me to do what somebody doesn't want me to do or has a problem with? Come on, y'all. And I'm guilty of this sin. And I don't want to be. So turn to your neighbor and say, I don't want to be guilty of this sin. But food does not bring us near to God. See, this is really, really... Now, look, y'all hang in there with me now. But food... I love to eat and cook. Oh, by the way. I burn a lot of stuff. Because if you cook stuff, you got to burn stuff. I got pots that have been soaking for 3 weeks. They'll get there. They've got there before. I ain't throwing that good pot out just because I burn it. I'm going to soak it with everything that's on the market. And then I'll reuse it again. But it takes a while. Some of us got some scraping to do in your spiritual walk. Got some soaking to do. But don't throw out the pot just because the bottom is burnt, especially when the pot was very expensive and it's been around for 17 years in mine. No, I ain't throwing it out. I ain't giving up hope on it. And God did not give up hope on you when you were a non-Christian running from Him. He always gave you the opportunity to say, come. Come. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Say rest. Say freedom. Say salvation. What a wonderful, wonderful, amazing God we have. It's just, it's a mind blow to me when I think about it and read. And the only way I'm going to know God better is to read His Word. Somebody told me on Facebook the other day, well, they said, I'm having this issue and this issue. And I said, well, what are you doing about it? And they said, well, I'm beginning to talk to God. Beginning to talk to God. And I said, well, here's a scripture for you that might help you. And the person said, I don't read the Bible. Witnessing on Facebook, can you imagine? Just somebody I don't even know. Plant a seed. Say plant a seed.
Plant a seed.
And I sent her a scripture. She said, I'm talking to God but not reading the Bible. And I said, I gave her a verse. She said, well, I'm not reading the Bible right now. And I said, well, do you know, I don't know, it says she may not be a Christian. She's talking to a little g God maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not the salvation police. So I'm not, I don't know. But I am probing for a witness opportunity. I want everybody to be a Christian, to be born again through Jesus Christ. And I said, well, if you talk to God, on the comment, if you talk to God, how is He talking to you? See the question? I love questions. Jesus asked a lot of questions. The apostles asked a lot of questions. Questions provoke an answer from the other person. It shows you that you're listening to that person. I can preach up a storm. But when I do one-to-one, I want people to respond. I want to see what where their head is, where their heart is, where their mind is. Come on, y'all. This is good. But food does not bring us near to God. It doesn't bring me near to God. I praise God to say the blessing, to ask God to bless all the food that I eat. I'm thankful for food, but it doesn't bring me near to God. It just makes me thankful. It doesn't help me in my spiritual walk. A good T-bone steak is not going to get me closer to God. Even though I like them. Sweet potato? Yeah. Green beans, yeah. Come on with it. No problem here. But as far as my spiritual walk, no. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. So get over that, okay? Sometimes it'll be 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and I realize I haven't eaten yet because, one, I'm too busy, two, I'm in a ministry opportunity, and all of a sudden, hey, my body will tell me when I need to eat, but I'm not going to stop what I'm doing, stop preaching and say, oh, I'm so hungry, I got to go, y'all. See y'all later. I'm free in Christ, but I am not free to put a stumbling block between you and Jesus. I can do whatever I want if it's not a sin, but I'm not gonna be that person, and you don't be that person either. But keep your freedom, listen to your conscience, do what the Lord tells you to do. But do it scripturally. Be careful, say be careful. I'm reading it verse by verse. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. See, it's not sin. Now, sinning is a one matter. Sin is why Jesus came to die on the cross to save you from your sins. He didn't come to die on the cross, a humiliating death on the cross, be punished for sin, was made sin for us just to make your life better. Excuse me. S-I-N, he came to save you from your sins because you can die a rich person, you can die a healthy person, you can die a person with no problems and still spend eternity in hell, that Jesus said. Jesus called hell, hell, by the way. Ooh, he mentioned the H word, forget about it. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell, by the way. It's his will that all come to repentance and come to the knowledge of the truth of his Son, Jesus Christ. Did you know it's God's will that all people go to heaven? He doesn't take pleasure in punishing the wicked. I got to send you to hell. You didn't accept my Son. He's not saying that. It hurts him that he has a free gift of forgiveness through his Son, Jesus Christ, and no one is receiving the gift. You saw presence up here, but everyone was opened. Mm-hmm. But it couldn't save you, but they were free. That's good. But he says, be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Just be careful. For if someone with a weak conscience sees you with all your knowledge, you know, you're the mature Christian, eating in an idol's temple. Okay, invite me over to... Hey, I can go eat to a non-Christian family. If a non-Christian family invites me over like Jesus, Jesus accepted the invitation from Matthew, and he was the worst of sinners. He was a tax collector. He was looked down upon, but Jesus... And all the people were saying, oh, the Pharisees, the religious people, saying, oh, you're going to the sinner's house? And you're going to eat with them? Guess what he saw it as? An opportunity. He was a mature adult. If they served pork there and he didn't eat pork, he wouldn't eat it. But it didn't bother him because he was mature. He would eat whatever he wanted to eat, and he could not be a stumbling block. But he accepted the offer. You don't have to just, no, they're not Christians. Jesus, man, he was all over people that needed him. I mean, if you're sick, you need a physician, don't you? You don't see health people, and I see a lot of sick people today. If you're healthy, you're not sitting in a waiting room just hanging out because you like it there. You need some medicine. And if you're a sinner without Jesus, you need Jesus. So your knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't that person be emboldened to eat what is sacrificed to idols? You don't want to ruin somebody's conscience and say, oh, wow, look at all these people. I don't feel right now eating this food sacrificed to idols, but I see all these other people doing it. I'm enticed. I'm enticed to do what they're doing. If they do it, then they're going against their conscience. Don't ever, 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 ever go against your conscience. The highest courtroom in the land is not the Supreme Court in Washington. It's your conscience. If your conscience says, no, don't do that, don't do that. God gave every man and woman a conscience, whether you believe in God, the Father, in Jesus the Christ, and Holy Spirit. If you still have a conscience. Even non-believers know when they steal from me. Well, what is stealing? $1 or $100? It's all the same. Listen to your conscience when you do something wrong. God put it there for a reason. How many of you know what a smoke detector is? You know why you have smoke detectors in your house? Keep your house from burning down. Now, if you burn stuff like I do on the stove, it goes off when you got smoke in the room. Smoke is like sin. So sin starts filling up the room, your conscience, spiritually speaking. It goes, well, that's not very pleasant. It doesn't go, ding dong, your house is going to burn down. You better stop cooking or you're going to be in trouble, ding dong. Of course it doesn't. Your conscience will tell you always the truth. And some people have taken the batteries out of their smoke detector because it goes off so much, they just want to make it weak where they don't have to listen to it anymore. It's called a seared conscience. They lie so much, they steal so much, they commit adultery so much, they dishonor their parents so much, they murder so much in their mind that they start taking the batteries out of the smoke detector just like you can in your mind. So when it goes off, it just goes, See, I'm tired. Well, if you're taking the batteries out, your conscience has become seared, and you're in jeopardy of your house burning down. Don't have a seared conscience. And some people's conscience are seared because they do it so much, and it's so irritating. Their conscience is so irritating, like the smoke detector, they just start taking the batteries out and defusing it. It's an old trick, I know. I did it at my house because, you know, I was going like, man, that thing's going off too much. So I got my ladder and took the batteries out. Well, it's against the law. You got to have a smoke detector. I mean, if you have the insurance on your house, you got to have a smoke detector. So I found that out. Had to go put the batteries back in. And it was something that I didn't burn my food as much. I was more careful by walking away from the stove so long. Hello? Certain things you have to be on the stove and stir it. Other things you can walk away when you simmer it. That's us with our spiritual life, too. Stay close to your conscience. Let it do what it was designed to do. And say free. This is freedom sermon now. This is so free that it tells us to not put that wall into somebody that's not as mature as you as a Christian. Okay? All we're saying. Live in your freedom. If you've got to bypass a certain thing for one day in order to keep this person from stumbling and their conscience all getting messed up, just pass it. You can do it. You can. And as I close, this awesome body of text. So this weak brother or sister from whom Christ died. Hey! Look at that! The weak, the one that has a conscience that's not matured yet, and the strong, Christ died for both of them. So treat the brother or sister as a Christian that's just a little more immature. Exercise your freedom by not standing in the middle of them getting closer to the Lord. Man, I have done it by the way I act. They're going, really? I mean, we're all going to sin like sheep have gone astray. We're all going to sin. And some people that are maybe not as mature, look, you see what she did? Well, they don't have compassion about, hey, life is tough down here. Life is tough. Say life is tough, 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 tough. Thank y'all for staying with me. I'll close for the second time. For your knowledge is eating in idols' temple. We've talked about that. So this is the weak brother or sister from whom Christ died. You know what? If Christ died for that person, treat them like a brother or sister, no matter where they are in their walk with the Lord. whether they're a theologian and been a Christian all their life and know everything about the Bible and do all the great things, and all of a sudden you're just starting out on your journey. If you have been around a while, give that sister or brother some love, some compassion. Show them the love of Christ. Don't get in their way by doing something that means so much to you when you could do without it for one day. Maybe you happen to do it without 2 days. Or maybe you have to just go to the brother or sister and kind of read this out and explain to them what's going on. Use the Bible as your reference always. Filter all your life through the Bible. So the weak sister or brother to whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. Then all of a sudden, kabam, it might take them a while to get back on track again. And that's not where you want to be as a Christian. You don't want to be an obstacle to people getting closer to the Lord. You want to help them, bring them closer to the Lord. You don't have to be like all that. Well, I'm free in Christ. I can do whatever. I'm sorry it bothers you. And that's not what it says here. I can't be stumbled. I don't care. Somebody wants to do whatever, I'm saying, do whatever. It don't matter. Eat what you want to. I can sit next to you. It don't matter to me. I'm mature. Hey, I understand the scripture. But it may hurt the other guy or the other girl. I close for the third time. I think third time. When you sin against them in this way, you wound their weak conscience and you sin against Christ. Oops. You don't want to sin against Christ, do you? Do you? No. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, or for what I do whatever causes my brother or sister to sin, I will never eat it again in front of that brother or sister. No problem. If you're a mature Christian, do what the Bible says, so that I will not cause them to fall. You don't want to cause a brother or sister to fall. Help them come. Pick them up with compassion and love. Show them the love of Christ. You don't want to be in the way of someone's maturity in Christ. So here we go, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. You can read it for yourself. It's a great, great chapter. And that's the end of the sermon. Amen.